agents to amplify liberal media outlets. The president was asked about these comments at the White House.
I think what Google and what others are doing, if you look at what's going on at Twitter, they better be careful because you can't do that to people. You can't do it. We have literally thousands and thousands of complaints coming in. Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory, and they have to be careful. It's not fair to large portions of the population.
Today on the Senate floor, Lindsey Graham paid tribute to the late Senator John McCain. The two were very close friends.
He told me that principle and compromise are not mutually exclusive and the foundation of a great person as well as a great nation.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and we're going to get started with Real Estate Matters. Let me get started first by giving you a little intro to the weather and then the weather, and I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So they asked me to give you the weather. Today is August 28th, 2018. It's a little after 4 o'clock, and I'm looking at the temperature. It says right now in scenic downtown Flemington, we're sitting with a temperature of 93 degrees. And if we take a look at the daily forecast going forward, it may hit 95 today, hot sunshine, hot and humid, 75 overnight, tomorrow 95 again, starting to sound like Groundhog Day, 74 overnight. On Thursday, 88, we get a break, 66 overnight, and then we're going to get some showers on Friday, and it's going to be 75 on both Friday and then 74 on Saturday. So we are getting a break, and in effect, I think summer's coming to an end. I think we'll have one more week of hot and muggy, but not as hot as this week, hopefully. And then we get into a little bit of fall cooling off. Let me play another spot or two, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterd In Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdin-chamber.org.
I'm going to give you a little intro to my background, and then we'll get the show started.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterd In and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, my name is Joe Peters, and I cover both Hunterdon and Somerset County for residential real estate. I've been doing this professionally for about 15 years and as an investor for about 5 years before that. I publish a newsletter that looks something like this. It's called My Monthly Market Report. I publish a version for both Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I'll be going over what's happened this month and why it's happening on our next show, which will be next Tuesday, the 4th. And rather than spend any time, because we're in the last week of the month, rehashing what's happened so far this month, tune in again next week at this time, 4 p.m. on the 4th, and I'll give you a monthly update for both counties and tell you not only what's happening, I'm going to tell you more importantly why it's happening. And you could always go to my site, jpeters.com, P-E-T-E-R-S.com, J for J. JoePeters.com, and there's a blog post on the top, a tab for blogs, and if you go to the blog, you'll find my market updates. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about millennials. Seems like every fourth or fifth show, I'm getting into the subject matter. It's probably proportionate because the millennials are now representing about a quarter of our business. If we had enough houses to sell them, they'd probably represent a lot more than one quarter. And I put together two or three subject matters for today's discussion as to what's happening in the millennial market. Now, let me start by an article I just came across this morning. What it says is the year is winding down for most of the real estate industry, and it was another one for the books. It's been crazy 12 months on bidding wars, record low interest rates. I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. However, there's no rest for the weary. 2018 was a super year, and I think we're going to see 2019 be just as excited. But more importantly, there's some exciting trends taking shape, and that's what I want to talk about. Starters are getting scarce. Although many buyers are interested in starter homes, they're getting harder and harder to find in many communities. The demand for starter homes far exceeds the inventory, and it's been an exasperating journey by some of our people out there looking for houses. The crux of the problem is that builders say their costs for land, labor, and materials are too steep to make money on modest single-family starter homes. To make their margins, they have to scale up bigger. I think there's another complication there, and that is that a lot of our affordable housing limitations have stopped starter homes from being built. But the net of it, or the crux, as this article says, is we're not building them. Whatever the reason is, we don't have homes above affordable housing. Affordable housing means it's assisted living in one shape, way, shape, or form. But if you want to go into free market housing and look for a 200 to 300,000 new condo, new townhouse, even go up to any, we haven't built any. Since 2005, I'll take the Beaverbrook complex, for example, which is where I live, we must have built 500 to 1,000 units back there, and they were all between 2 and 300,000. Haven't built another one since. And as a result, people who aren't sort of scaling up, that last, the kids are in school, let's buy their dream house, they're finding that, A, they really don't need it, B, it's not deemed a good investment, and as a result, they're not buying it, and they're staying put, fixing up the house they're in, and as a result, it's sort of stagnating the market below them because it's not opening up an inventory for a second or third time buyer to move up to, and as a result, the first time buyers aren't finding houses that they would be vacating. Lifestyle focused on rental complexes will make you think twice. This is an interesting phenomenon we're facing. To combat the housing crunch in many cities across the United States, urban planners have had no choice but to build tiny, and that's to optimize profit margins. Developers must squeeze as many apartments under one roof as possible. Micro units as small as 300 square foot are not uncommon in parts of LA and New York City, Boston. What makes these buildings different from those constructed in the past? The high-end finishes and amenities that provide residents with a sense of luxury and community feel. Chefs on site, group fitness classes, spa access, these perks curb the drawbacks of living in such tight quarters. And the younger generation is taking notice, and a large percentage of the millennials home buyers consider renting instead of buying. We're sure to see some of these communities getting approved in urban areas where the developers must build up to overcome the land density constraints. I'll tell you, I think I mentioned this on a show once before. My better half, Marilyn, and I were in New Brunswick doing some work with one of our counselors for her retirement plan. And he said, take a look at the complex next door. It was right in downtown New Brunswick. It was a for rent only high rise, maybe 12 floors high. They were anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square foot. So they're much bigger than what this is saying, the tiny, but they were moderate anyway. 1,200 is not a lot of square footage. An average townhouse is probably closer to 1,800. But they were getting anywhere from 2,200 to 3,600 of two parking spaces. They were for rent only. You had just what they described here, a chef's kitchen in a lobby that you could rent to have your parties. You had a round-the-clock gym with a fitness instructor on site. And you had a leaderboard that showed you the next train to New York, next train coming from New York. When you went to get the mail, it just looked like you're in Penn Station. It also told you that Uber was only 2 or 3 minutes away. That's the kind of lifestyle people are gravitating towards. Why are they gravitating towards it? Let's just recap what the article said. There's not enough starter housing, and as a result, they're looking for alternatives. And one of the alternatives that the millennials specifically gravitate towards is not having to own, but maybe to just rent so that they can use their discretionary time and money doing discretionary things, not working on a house. And the other point they make is that real estate marketers are finally getting you. What does that mean? Beautifully homes have been dominating many social media feeds lately. Definitely not complaining, just the fact. This has been a big year for real estate agents jumping into social marketing bandwagon. Better late than ever, but surely something we'll be seeing more and more of. Data now supports that younger buyers are more dependent on visuals when it comes to their purchase. Savvy listing agents are catching on building complex web funnels and to generate leads. High-quality visuals are becoming the new norm, and sponsored Facebook ads and Instagram parts are part of that. So I got to tell you, I do that when I list. I don't care if it's a condo or a townhouse or a small family or a large family house. I go out and have a professional photographer come in. I spend multiple hundreds of dollars doing a professional photo shoot so that people can see the house. I have them draw and each one of my listings gets this. I get them draw a floor plan of the house, and then there's buttons on a floor plan where you can click your way through and see what that room looks like. It gives people a really good insight to what the house looks like without having to visit the house. And in essence, I think people are doing more and more shopping, just what this article is saying, without coming out and getting the carpets dirty. And when they do want to see it, that's when you get a phone call as a realtor, and or maybe to visit an open house if an open house is scheduled. Yes, we're still doing open houses. Low-down payment programs continue to come to the rescue. Over half put less than 20% down, which begs to the question, how low can you go? The answer, according to senior loan officers, is the top 1% originator is pretty darn low. And this is a top loan originator. Due to the much lower default rates in the last few years, lenders are starting to cautiously loosen up some guidelines. For borrowers with strong credit, 0% down with no PMI now exist in property located in certain rural areas. In more urban areas, 3% down programs with attractive interest rates are available. Just this year, we saw programs where lenders actually contributed towards the first-time buyer down payment. And recently, we've seen an increase on maximum debt ratios. I'm going to talk about that before we get done. For borrowers with less than perfect credit, FHA loans are still the name of the game. The program continues to change to and improve the success rate for first-time home buyers. Since the down payment is much more of a hurdle to ownership, these products are breaking down barriers for young buyers who have little savings as lenders compete for the piece of the millennial buyer pie. We continue to see creative programs. So what we're saying here is when you go out to buy a house, you really need three or four things. You need a job, you need earnings, you need credit, and you need some money. Well, what they're saying is if your credit is perfect, you're needing less and less money down. And it used to be if you put less than 20% down, well, then you had to pay private mortgage insurance or PMI. Not the case anymore. They're saying, and I just heard another program this morning, you have good credit, you can put almost nothing down and still not have to pay PMI. That's how competitive it's getting down there. Program I heard about this morning was a jumbo. A jumbo, depending where you live, is probably a mortgage that's above $700,000. And they're saying if you've got good credit and you can put 5% down, you can get a jumbo with no PMI. That's an astounding bargain compared to where we were not even a year ago. Then the last point they make is that Generation Z is right behind you. With half the buyers being under the age 36, your generation is driving more of the housing market than previously understood. Housing developers, real estate investors, and listing agents have gone to great lengths to attract the and market to younger buyers. Now a new cohort is coming to the tray, and that's Generation C. Born between 1995 and 2010, this subset of buyers is accustomed to on-demand information services, even if their young age, half over 57% of Generation Z, renters consider buying instead of renting. Comprising of 21% of the American population, these individuals are just now graduating from college and will be sure to rapidly gain influence on power in the housing market and perhaps drive major change. So what we're saying is we're dealing with the baby boomers are starting to retire. Generation X is behind them, and then we're saying Generation Y is where the millennials are, and Generation Z is behind the millennials. But they're coming at us. The program doesn't stop. The generations keep coming, and as a result, the programs keep getting modified to help find them ways to improve. But one of the big trends that I've seen here in New Jersey is rent versus buy. And that's exactly what they're talking about. It's exactly what that apartment complex was in New Brunswick. You've got high rises going up near mass transportation within 45 minutes in New York City. And yes, there's a place to park a car. You're probably not going to get away without a car, but you can walk to the train station, walk home. You can go out at night and not have to go a block, and there's a half dozen places you can eat. And you can pretty much live without using a car except for your weekend chores. We've seen the 74% home ownership rate in New Jersey drop down to about 63% over the last 10 years. Some of that was due to home ownership and foreclosures and short sales and all of that as we went through the recession that we went through. But some of it's also due to a change in lifestyle. The change in more lifestyle that we're seeing, and we're seeing the millennials embrace it first, is they want to be within 15 miles of New York City and on mass transportation and probably rent to start with. So what does that mean to us when we're in Somerset County and Hunterdon County? Well, Hunterdon being the furthest out, it probably affects it more because we don't have mass transportation. The closest we come to mass transportation is bus service and a local rail line that starts in High Bridge and somewhere about a half hour later gets over towards Bridgewater and that general area, Somerset, and then makes a beeline into Newark or one of the station terminal exchanges into New York City. It's over an hour commute. They're not looking for that. The bus service, including the bus lane, getting in New York, unless you have an extremely lucky day, over an hour commute. They're not looking for that. What they're looking for is a more European style of commuting to New York, and that means probably no more than 15 miles away, which stops at about 287. That's only halfway through Somerset County, so Somerset's affected less than we are in Hunterdon. And live in a town where there is mass transportation to New York, high-speed rail. And we don't offer it in Hunterdon. We do have it in some of our towns in Somerset. And where it exists in Somerset County, we're probably seeing a 20 to 25% bonus on pricing just for that fact. So let's talk about the state of millennial home ownership. Numbering just over 75 million today, 21 to 37-year-olds, or millennials, are the largest generation in history. Very tech-savvy, racially and ethnically diverse, more educated, and they marry and have children much later in life. And though most millennials now entered peak household formation and home buying years, they're becoming homeowners later in life and at lower rates. One of the new millennial homeownership reports says that the homeownership rate for millennials between 25 and 34 was 37%, approximately 8 percent points lower than the homeownership rate for Generation X's and baby boomers at the same age. So a generation later, we're buying 8% less houses. Remember I said we went from 74 to 63 and it bounced back up a little bit the last year? That's about that percentage that we're talking of. The homeownership rate for millennials has stayed the same as in previous. If it had stayed the same as in previous generation, there would have been about 3.4 million more homeowners today. That's an amazing statistic. So let's go through the age brackets. Millennials were born between 81 and 97 and are between 18 and 34. Gen X's were born between 65 and 80 and are now between 35 and 50. And the baby boomers were born between 46 and 64 and are now between 51 and 69. They've started to retire at the far end. So one report looks at the demographics, lifestyle changes, external barriers to home ownership to determine which factors have the greatest influence on millennials' home buying decisions. We quantify for the first time the influence of millennials' lower marriage rates, greater racial diversity, and increased educational debt and attitude towards home ownership. They're all very interesting because they all play together. Delayed marriage had the most significant impact on a millennial home ownership. Being married increased the probability of owning a home by 18 percent points after accounting for some other factors such as age, income, race, ethnicity, and education. The marriage rate amongst young adults dropped from 52% in 1990 to 39% in 2015. The marriage rate in 2015 had been the same as it was. If it had been the same it was in 90, the millennial home ownership would be about 5% points higher. 5 percentage points higher. Increased racial diversity played a significant role because non-Hispanic white households have higher home ownership rates than other racial groups. Millennials' increased diversity, that's a possessive, contributed to their lower home ownership rate. Between 1990 and 2015, the share of white household dropped from 16 percentage points from 76 to 60%, and during that period, Hispanics' share increased 9 percentage points, Asian Americans' share increased 3 percentage points, and Blacks' share increased 2 percentage. So you've got a combination of getting married later, and you've got a combination of the ethnicity. At the same time, the homeownership rate for almost all groups except Hispanics dropped, with the greatest decline observed amongst Black and white households, dropping between 6 and 5% respectively. The racial composition in 2015, which is when this article was written about, had been the same as it was in 90, the millennial homeownership rate would be nearly 3 percentage points higher today. Levels of education, next subject matter as far as millennial factors here. Study found that 1% education loan debt decreases the likelihood a 1% in debt increase obtains the likelihood of owning a home by 0.15 percentage points. In other words, if a person's household student debt increases 100% from $50,000 to $100,000, with all other things being the same, the likelihood of owning a home will decrease 15 percentage points. Student debt is affecting home ownership. Many millennials choose to live on high-end city centers. Between 2005 and 2015, many millennials moved into city centers, with greater urban amenities and job opportunities where homes are in higher demand and more expensive. The shift in geographic preference is mostly observed amongst the higher educated millennials and does not explain the significant drop in home ownership rates amongst the less educated millennials. Attitudes towards homeownership haven't changed much, though. Even though for married, high-income white households and with children, the homeownership rate is 2 to 3 percentage points lower than it was for similar households in previous generations. Though this suggests that the attitude shift about homeownership has not appeared to have significant impact, and the shift is a result of millennials' experience of housing collapse in the Great Recession, having them worry of potential risks. And I know a lot of buyers, know friends that lost their house or had to sell their house because of one of the two of them having job difficulties. It's a risk they don't want to take. It's a risk they're going to get into a little slower, and it stops them from buying. Though there's no ideal home ownership rate, home ownership is highly beneficial for most families, offering a stable place to live, a hedge against inflation, and a way to build wealth. The average homeowner has a household wealth of $341,000. The average renter has $5,200. Accordingly, the two findings are of great concern. And as you're into these higher cost, more urban developments, the more and more this is happening, because you're paying a higher percentage of your gross income towards rent than you would in a suburban, urban versus suburban. You may be paying twice for rent in Hoboken and Jersey City than you would be in Somerville or Flemington for the same square footage. Yet your earnings aren't going up. You're paying a higher percentage of your earnings, and as a result, you're not accumulating what you need in order to buy a house eventually. I read that on average, 89% of all millennials feel homeownership is something they want to do in the future. But on average, 80% of all millennials don't have $5,000 accumulated. We just talked about the $5,200 because they're spending more of the proportion of their gross income on rent, and they're not accumulating because it is a more expensive place to live. The restaurants are more expensive, whatever your lifestyle factors there are more expensive. Even if you have a car, it's more expensive to park. Less educated young adults are falling further and further behind in home ownership. For millennials, the gap in home ownership rates between college grads and high school grads has grown significantly compared with previous generations. The differentiation in home ownership rate between the two groups increased from 3 to 10 percentage points between 1990 and 2015. Though college-educated millennials contend with higher educational debt, it's the less educated millennials who are falling further behind in home ownership. This may be the result of unstable incomes and rising rents. Just went through that. Left unchecked, the current trends will result in even greater wealth disparities amongst white, black, and Hispanic millennials. Millennials in the 18 to 34 and all race and ethnic groups have experienced a drop in home ownership since 2005. Further, the black home ownership rate has continuously lower than all groups and dropped further than other groups in 2000. Our research has revealed significant influence parental home ownership. Let me read that again. Our research has revealed the significant influence potential home ownership and wealth has on home ownership, an important factor that accelerates this widening gap. Addressing these things will take concentrated, long-term, multi-pronged effort. So this was an article that was published somewhere around July of 2018, and it's called The Millennial Home Ownership. Now, I gotta believe the facts in there are pretty uniform, no matter where you live in the country. But we live in a very unique area. And the uniqueness about it is that New York drives our market. So I don't care if you're in your 70s like I am or if in your 20s. The closer you are to New York, the more expensive it is to live, and the easier it is to get a higher paying job, either in New Jersey or in commutable distance to New York where it pays more money. I know when I first started, I spent my first 23 years in the retail industry in IT in New York City. And when I look back, I said, why did I do that? I commuted a lot. Because I made a lot. The New York jobs paid a lot more money. And they were a lot more progressive in what they were doing. And I only left when my company finally transferred out to New Jersey. Or I might have still been there. So we've gone full circle. Then we went more and more work from home. I was in sales for years, so I didn't have to go into the city unless it was on a sales call. I commuted out of Newark Airport. But we've gone full circle that where the jobs were in New York. And we eventually migrated those jobs out into the industrial parks in the area surrounding New York and then got further and further away, all the way out into Hunterdon County. But over time, the tide sort of rescinded and went back towards New York. And now where people are living is where I said, 15 miles from New York, a European lifestyle near mass transportation, more in rentals than in purchase, and at a higher rent ratio than if they were further out. As a result, they are not accumulating what it takes in order to buy a house. And as a result, the disparity between homeownership and non-homeownership is widening, and that's what this article is talking about. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer to it. It is a concern because home ownership gives you that, as it said, hedge against inflation, where you could go out and buy a house and put 5, 10, 20% down, but the whole house grew proportionately with inflation. Well, now we're not seeing the house prices grow proportionately with inflation. We're seeing them be more moderately in sync with inflation, but in the past we had seen 15% increases on home ownership when inflation was only going up 3 or 4%. So a lot of people made a lot of wealth in buying a house and selling it when it was high. Then other people hung on to it because they felt it would go higher or they just really didn't have a reason to sell it, and it started to come down. And it came down through the late 2005 to 2010 period, and it really just started going up in the 2010s. And in general, in Hunterdon and Somerset County, unless you're under the 500K mark, you're probably 10 to 12% still below where the peak was. If you're under that 4 and 500K, 400 in Hunterdon County, 500K in Somerset County, you're probably back to where you started because that's where we don't have inventory. And if you're above 500, you're probably 10 to 12% below the peak. So what does that all mean? What it means is the peak was an inflationary period. We should have never been there. So getting back to the peak doesn't mean that's what you deserve. It just is an artificial goal for some people. But it's easy to say that if a house was worth $700,000 at the peak and we've only got back within $10,000, it's probably worth more like $600,000 today. And if your house was worth $400,000 at the peak, and because that's our really hot market and it dropped like everything else did during that period of time, you're probably back to $400,000 today because that's where our buyers are at. You got to look at the psyche of a buyer. First-time buyer buys from 150 to 300. That guy turns around and buys somewhere between 3 and 5. That guy turns around and buys between 4 and 6. And the last buyer doesn't happen too frequently anymore, and that's the late Generation X, where they're probably between 55 and 65. The kids are in college. They go and buy a mega mansion. It's what used to happen. I know that's what we did. It's not happening anymore. Not in any great numbers. They're fixing up where they're living at, or in a lot of instances, getting into a 55-plus development but in a multi-floor unit where the kids that are in college can still come home on the weekends in the summer. So when you look at 55 plus, and I'm jumping around, but I'm going to get back on track, there's two segments to that. It's 55 to 65, where the kids are still about, and then they're 65 and over, which is true what most people think retirement is all about. They have two different sets of categories. The 55 to 65, multi-floor living is just fine. 65 and above are starting to think about one-floor living. You get above 75, you're definitely thinking about one-floor living. So, all that said, let me come through 12 common first-time homebuyer mistakes and how to avoid them. And this is zeroed right in at the millennials. From first-time homebuyers are prone to mistakes such as getting just one quote on a mortgage. Every year, first-time homebuyers venture into the market and make the same mistakes that their parents, siblings, and friends made when they bought their first house. But today's novice buyers can stop the cycle. And here are 12 mistakes that first-time homebuyers typically make and what you need to do instead. Number one is not figuring out how much you can afford. Before you go out and start looking at houses, you should go talk to a mortgage person and get into how much you can afford on your salary. You may have a couple that makes, let's just use round numbers, $100,000 between them. If they make $100,000 gross between them, they can probably afford a $2,500 mortgage payment. A $2,500 mortgage payment is probably not buying much more than a $300,000 house. And it depends how much money you put down or what interest you pay, naturally. You need to know that before you start going looking at 4 and 5, because I've heard so many people tell me, oh, I've got champagne taste but a beer budget. Well, you're better off knowing before you start looking, because you're just going to frustrate yourself. So without knowing how much you can afford, you might waste time. You could end up looking at houses you can't afford to buy. For many first-time buyers, the goal is to buy a house and get a loan with a comfortable monthly payment that won't keep them up at night. Sometimes it's a good idea to aim low. How to avoid this mistake? Use a mortgage affordability calculator to give you the price range and affordability and what's a stretch and what's aggressive. We typically use 30% of gross as what you can afford. So if you gross $50,000 and you took 30% of that and you divided it by 12, that's $1,250 a month. That's why I said for $100,000, it's $2,500 a month. That covers mortgage, interest, taxes, homeowners, and insurance. That doesn't buy a lot because our taxes are so darn high and our home values are high. So talking to a mortgage person, they'll gear you into a notch and they'll turn around and talk to a real estate person like me, saying, here's where they're comfortable. And one of the things you might want to do is say, I don't really want to gamble that we're both going to earn these salaries for the rest of our life. Maybe we want to try and make it on one and buy a little bit more modest, but as I said, sleep well at night. Another thing they do wrong is making a down payment that's too small. You don't have to put 20% down to buy a home. Some loan programs, you can get in with 3.5%, and sometimes a good idea, but sometimes it's not. In a survey commissioned by NerdWallet, 1 in 9 or 11% of homeowners under 35 agreed with the statement, I should have waited until I could afford a bigger down payment. And probably the most common to save is a judgment call. A bigger decide is taking time in taking and saving. And saving just for the down payment isn't all that you have to save for. You got to save for closing costs. And you're probably going to save 3% for probably going to take you somewhere around 4 years. After, maybe you'll need to replace a Department of USDA, which is a zero down payment. FHA, 3.5%, or conventional, which is what I call a bank loan, is free day loans or FHA loans. But at the same time, what option do you have? You get the work, you get to accumulate money or wealth, you get to spend it in a way you see fit. And you should talk to at least one mortgage person to understand what it is you can afford. Then we can go out and find a house and make an offer on. Had more than enough money accumulated, but they had more debt than they really needed to have. And by taking some of the money accumulated and paying off some of the debt, they were able to get to credit ratios. It's an $1 mortgage. One point would be $3,000. You pay $3,000 extra, you can get a whole bunch of things on your mortgage. And they offer you that option, and you can finance that. Do another pull 3 days before you close, and if there's a significant change, you may not be closing. I've seen people buy a new car, buy a powerboat, run up some credit, buy the house that you want. Or later, I tell people it's better to know up front, because a lot of times they can afford more than they think they can, and it's something that you need to get out of the way. The cost of homeownership, city taxes, insurance typically cost, and we can. Miscalculating repair and renovation cost. You really need to accrue some money for this. Really, one of the best. Well, guess what? If you bought a $300,000 house with 3% down, that's $9,000. That's your total investment, plus another maybe 3% to close. So maybe $18,000 in the first, $10,000 in equity. And then $1,000 grows, not, but the growth is on 100% of the investment, while you probably only put 3, 5, 10, 20% down. So you got a nice leverage factor working for you, and that you're getting growth on 100%. Not a bad way. A few bucks over what, and is they'll refinance it and buy another one. The higher priced houses are getting harder to sell money. They're not having that many children. Happening in home ownership with the millennials. Live in Clinton, New Jersey. I cover.
Strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. Hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his, and distills it down to a few understandable.
Okay, this is Joe Peters signing off. We're
going to WHCR-DB.
Sabía que de cada lucha con síntomas difíciles, NAMI es una organización. Somos la voz de la nación. Educación e información. De familia a familia, familiares y amigos de per 888.
What Google and what others are doing, what's going on in Facebook, do that to people.
President Trump's comments is from Google, Facebook, and Twitter. Test
the promo code USA, but do it now.
Joint military exercises involving the U.S. and South Korea will continue. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes report.
Where is this as a gesture of goodwill right after leader Kim Jong-un in June? Some troubled waters he doesn't expect. He always regarded the joint military
exercise. You're listening to USA.
Child said, come and walk with me. Ain't got a dime. But if I broke her heart, then won't you tell it? But by the that keeps me wearing this crying, but be down. I just got hold on. My life will be through.
It's 28th, a little after 5 p.m., and you know. And running. Just heard the BG. Target weather forecast for your central Jersey. That's the theme of the day. Currently 92. Another hot day, high 95 degrees. Chance of thunderstorms on Thursday with a high of degrees. So maybe I'm walking in the rain, so to speak.
I want her, and I'll be certain the things she'll do. Hear me, and right, 'cause we got so much. She'll never do, never, no.
As I mentioned before, you just heard Walking in the Rain and the Americans. And it's still listen to the Beach Boys. Down, I've been up doing it. I come in late at night and I love
Advancing 100 and Engages Business Station wants to get engaged.
Everybody right there! Get involved! Everybody, you!
Did you know the 100 and County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events.
When you feel like you wanna cry, do what I gotta say. Girl, I still love you.
I still love you.
Everybody loves somebody.
Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone?
Thank you.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
But I-
I wait around and then I run to the door. I can't take anymore. It's not you. You let me down again. Baby, baby, try to find a little time and I'll make you happy. I'll be home. I'll be beside the phone waiting for you. I'm a toy, but I could be the boy you adore. If you just let me know. Although you are true, I'm attracted to you all the more. Why do I need you so? Baby, baby, try to find a little time and I'll make you happy. I'll be home, I'll be beside the phone waiting for you.
Build Me Up Buttercup from the Foundations. And before that, you had the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley, with Suspicious Minds. Up next, a British invasion group, Herman's Hermits. There's a kind of hush.
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight. All over the world, you can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean? Just the two of us and nobody else in sight. There's nobody